Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe Humphrey, and I am joined today by Gabriel Bringers.
Good day.
And Robbie Payne.
Hey, what's up?
So we had something exciting happen right before we were going to start rolling.
Robbie and I got new phones. Sorry, I had to say.
Gabe, let me try the smoked pork carnita style.
No, this is, you guys are so far off.
Yeah, so
here.
If we cut this short, we have pork simmering in carnita sauce downstairs.
Yeah. Somebody online said somebody had a question about coffee, and they said ask the Chrome Unbox guys.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool.
But it's also smoked meat. Gabe and I are
pork specifically.
We are
pork. Yeah. Gabe and I both enjoy smoking meat, so that's we're gonna have.
Did answer that. He was looking for a good subscription service because there's a lot out there, and make sure you do your research because I've gotten a couple that were supposed to be really good, and they sent me bags of, I believe it was something they scraped out of an ashtray.
Yummy
bags of trash.
Blue bottle coffee. If you're gonna order it, that's the way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're awesome.
It's pricey, but it's good.
Four Barrel, the other place that we went to out in California, does a subscription service. Anywho, the thing that I'm talking about is sitting on the desk over there. We took a shipment of our 100K plaque from YouTube.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting. I mean, for anybody new listening, this was a big milestone for us that we've been working towards for many, many years. As we were just telling the Jody, our UPS guy, Robbie said, "Hey, do you know what this is?" And he was like, "No." And Robbie was like, "This is our 100K plaque for getting 100,000 subscribers." And he was like, "Oh, man, yeah."
Yeah, if you all don't have a UPS guy like Jody, then you should be jealous.
Yeah, he's awesome. But, you know, you were telling him, he was like, "Well, how long did it take you to do that?" And Robbie was like, I don't know, 6 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of that came
once
in,
the ball
2 years.
Started rolling. That was the thing.
The last 2 years.
2016, we were at the very end of the year, we were excited about 10,000.
Yeah. We had hit 10,000 subscribers, and we were very excited about that.
So 90% in.
So it took 3 years to get to that point from what I was doing. And then we obviously shifted gears and began to really.
I mean, gosh, we launched the whole giveaway campaign. I mean, what was that?
We were at 80-something
80 thousand. 80-something. Yeah. We hit that in, what, a month and a half, something like that?
Yeah, it was like 2 months, I think, we did that.
So, anywho, this is something that we've been obviously working towards for a very long time. And YouTube is one of those things. It's just a slow burn. It's a lot of just consistency and putting out good content and just churning along. And if you do that... If you're putting out good stuff, eventually, you know, you're gonna start getting the subscribers. And you see some of these YouTube channels that just blow up, that right place at the right time, maybe. But I would say 80% of the other channels out there have been just grinding away. And even the ones that do, quote unquote, get lucky. Like, I've read some articles about Peter McKinnon, who does some kind of vloggy style stuff and does a lot of photography and editing stuff. And so I found him that way, but you know, he blew up. I mean, he has a couple million subscribers and he's only been doing it for a couple years, but I mean, he was putting out a video like every other day and they were very, very well done. Like, he's a professional videographer, you know, like it looks really, really good. So it's like for us, you know, we've just tweaked things over the years and just been churning and just trying to keep putting out good content. And, so this was a big deal for us, and I'm really excited that we've got the Gabe's very excited about it. He's over here yawning.
Robbie started it.
It's been a long week.
Yeah, it has been. So yeah, so we're excited. So check that out in on the YouTube channel. We'll do an unboxing of that today, just something fun. And in the next video, be on the lookout. We'll probably put it up on our little shelf that
we
have.
Yeah. You may see it here or there.
Oh, it's going to be in videos
or everywhere.
Yeah, it's got to be in videos.
You seem to be holding it like a baby.
Yeah.
While I unbox this Chromebook with one hand. Yeah.
I'm glad it has a one hand.
Don't drop
left.
It. Don't drop it.
So next goal is 250,000, and I think that hopefully that one will come sooner than later. But the next goal that we will hit, where we will actually get a new plaque, will be a million. So
yeah, that'll be a huge deal. I mean, not that 100,000 wasn't like didn't feel huge, but man, a million is that's a million. Insane.
It's 10 times.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Insane. So one other quick thing before we get into this, we're going to talk about some news around this as we get going here. But Robbie said it's been a long week, and I thought it would be prudent of us to mention why it's been a long week. We launched a new website this week. Yeah. We told you guys about it. If you all listened to the podcast last week, we told the podcast people before we told anyone else, really.
Yes,
I guess we had told it's the YouTube news, members maybe some stuff.
Yeah, the YouTube members.
Yeah, we had told them a little bit about what we were doing, but we gave some good details on last week's podcast. So if you didn't listen to that one, go back and check that one out. But yeah, so we launched a new website called gamingunboxed.com, and we are just ecstatic about this thing. It's it's awesome. Robbie did an amazing job with the website design. It's a similar layout, but the aesthetic is totally different. It's all dark theme, very gamey, very kind of I get some NVIDIA, you know, the green dark gray.
It's a gamer site for sure.
Yeah. So and our partner on this, Michael, who is going to be kind of driving a lot of the traffic, has just been crushing it already.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
just
really been knocking it out.
He's crushing it, and he has a passion for this stuff. He's passionate about Chrome OS stuff too, but the gaming stuff he's really focused in on. And if you all are at all interested, it's a different site. It's not Chrome Unbox. It's a totally different site. There's going to be some cross promotion here and there, you know, when we're writing about things that can kind of go on both sites. But in general, I mean, this is a separate and distinct site. I mean, it's under our same company, so Unbox Media, and we're just really excited about it. It's,
yeah, we all made a guest appearance already now.
Yeah,
posting.
Yeah.
And
I finally got to write my Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
There you go.
Article that I've been
thinking
about. You
had to figure out a way to like make it work.
I was like,
I'm going to write this article.
I was like, I am going to figure out a way to write about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater coming.
And that speaks a lot to how excited and how great Michael is for this project too. Because I wrote my piece yesterday, and then I was sitting at home last night, and I was thinking, I really want to contribute on a weekly basis to this, but I feel out of my league when I read his stuff.
Yeah,
like,
man.
He knows his stuff, and he is super excited about this entire platform.
Yeah, you know? And I think that's probably the most important thing, because over the
that's
years...
That's how Chrome Unbox...
Right. Yeah, where exactly. It is. Yeah. That's what people always say. It's not so much that we know more than anyone else, because we don't.
No, we just,
you know, we try to learn,
and we don't even fancy ourselves like traditional journalists. I mean, we're tech bloggers.
Yeah, we're just people who are passionate about a certain thing, and we've had multiple people comment to us in person and online that's what comes through. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just glad you're passionate about this, and yeah, you may forget to talk about that or you left out that detail or whatever, but when people can sense that you're actually passionate about a thing. That's what draws them to you to hear you talk about it. And so Michael has that with gaming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just no question about it. Like, there's so many things he knows about the space. It's funny, like, we talked about launching this, and we talked internally about it before we even reached out to Michael about this. And I look at it now, and I'm like, I guess there's certain things that are just serendipitous, and they just work out. You know, things that just fall into place because Joe and I have talked about this before, but, like, You set yourself up to take advantage of opportunity, you know, constantly putting yourself in those places.
Yeah.
And so you can look at it and be like, oh, it's fate. And
that worked out, you know but really you've been in conversation with him in some form for
a couple of years or something. And so, you know, it just worked out that this happened. And so the interesting part, though, is like now looking back at it, I'm going, I don't think I fully grasp or realize
what the potential
work,
was,
right?
Yeah,
how much work would go into it, and how under you?
I'm trying to think.
Equipped.
I was like, what word is he going to use? Here?
I would be,
and
that we would be technically to try to talk about
push
gaming,
this,
even though we're focused on, you know, like mobile gaming and stuff, and I think we're plugged into the space, but nowhere on the level that Michael is, and so now that he's kind of on board and a part
awesome,
of this whole
man.
Thing, I'm just like.
So
wow.
Awesome.
I don't know what it would look like without him as a part of it. And that's what we want as we continue to expand, and whether, you know, we have new riders ever show up for Chrome Unboxed or we just spin off another niche type website, like that's how I know that we kind of want to grow is, yeah. is finding people that are passionate about something and let them run with that and let that passion be the thing that drives content.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for right now, you know, we want to work with people that are just self-starters and they're just going and doing their thing. And that's exactly what Michael's done here. Like, we obviously had the kind of central idea of mobile gaming, any gaming that you can take on the go with you, or, you know, gaming outside of the console. You know, this isn't gaming that's, you know, constrained to a living room box in a console box. You know, this is getting unboxed and going, whether it's, you know, Switch or Stadia or any of these streaming, you know, game streaming services, mobile gaming, you know, iOS and Android. You know, we had that central idea, but man, he took it and run with he has taken and ran with it.
We're good at words.
Oh boy,
it's been a long week. We've already proven that that's not true.
It's been a long week, but yeah, all that to say, it's really exciting. Go check it out if you're interested in gaming at all. Even if you're not super interested in gaming, if you like Chrome Unboxed, go check it out just to kind of see what we've done there. It's something that we're excited about, and we're putting in the same same amount of work into building that platform and building the social media channels. And we kind of have a plan for a new podcast and then maybe a kind of full on YouTube channel in the future. And so, yeah, we're just excited about it. So if you like the stuff that we do, go check it out, gamingunbox.com. So let's go ahead and talk about the June Stadia release, since we're on the subject here. So, they said, how many games was it? 120 or something crazy?
Early in the year, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 120 or 100? 200. Those two numbers are in my head. I can't remember which one it was.
It was a lot of games. They said
that I seem to remember us saying like 10 a month. That's 120 seemed right.
So they, Stadia came out and said that they were going to be putting out these new games for pro users, right? So these are games that if you're a pro user, you're a paid subscriber to Stadia.
Right.
You get for free to claim and play. Everyone else can buy it and play it.
Sure.
So anyone on base, yeah, can just play it. But part of your subscription includes these games. So this month they've come out, or going into June, I should correct myself. So in June they're putting out how many? Six?
Six. Yeah. So their announcement said five. It's going to be six by the end of June. So there's one that's holding out till June 16th. Because that's when the game is releasing on Stadia. And so they're going to release the game on Stadia and give it to pro members for free. So
cool.
Yeah, they're continuing additions to the pro library are what's keeping me on pro. And it's, for me, it's even more of a I'll play that sometime, you know, kind of mentality. Yeah. Like, and I've hopped in and played a couple things, but you know, there are a lot of games that have been on pro that require a ton of time. And that's part of the reason we started Gaming Unboxed, and part of the reason that, you know, we're even having those discussions is because the older you get, the more stuff you have going on, it's more difficult to invest that kind of time into games. And as much as I want to, I look at like Metro Exodus and think, I would love to just
dive into
turn off everything and just play this for a long time. Like, this would be awesome. It's just not reality for me right now. But I don't know that, you know, I wouldn't be able to carve out that time at some point. But as some more of these games come out that are things that I think I could kind of play along with my kids, or that, like, my wife's not a big video game person. So, you know, like, there's certain games that she could at least get into enough that she would be interested in. Like, I reference Zelda Breath of the Wild constantly because we like experienced that game as a family. It was so interesting. And because of that, it was so much easier to allow ourselves to spend lots of time playing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
There's just not a lot of games right now that I would feel comfortable doing that with family, because they're either super dark, or they're gruesome, or they're, you know, it's, I don't want my kids sitting there watching this stuff. Like, I barely would watch television shows about these things. But there are some on this list, I think, that might change some of that. And one of those for me is going to be Super Hot. I'm so, so excited that this game is A, coming out on Stadia, and B, going to be free. I own it already on Steam. And usually that game was one that, like, when Crouton was a thing, It still is a thing. But when that was the only way to get Linux on a Chromebook, it was one that I used a lot to see, like, oh, let's see how the GPU is working and let's see how this is working. So I've played through the first, I don't know, 5-6 levels of Super Hot a lot. And then, you know, either I'm changing to a different Chromebook or doing something with Linux or whatever and moving on and never really getting to just keep continuing the gameplay on that game. So I'm excited now that, you know, I could at 11:30 or something be like, I'm going to play a level real quick and grab my Stadia controller or my mouse and keyboard and just fire it up on my Chromebook and play a level and then move on or play it at home on the TV because it's if you've
the
never seen it,
of it are insane.
Oh, it's so fun. I remember when you showed me that game. It's been
is it the one where
you at the old co-working space? Probably.
Yeah. Can you pause in space? And
yeah. So
like,
when you stop moving, times everything else pauses.
Right. Yeah. It's 1% speed. Yeah. So
things are still barely moving.
But if you
moving.
Turn or look, it's every real time. Movement changes.
So you're speed. Essentially you can pause to evaluate. Kind of what's going on,
right.
And then plan your next movement.
Right.
But as soon as you start moving again,
which for me means I'm about to see the bullet that's going to hit me right in the face.
Right.
I'm not that good at it, but it is
it's cool.
Just the physics in the game are incredible.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And so, like, I've never gotten far enough into it to mess with. Like, you end up having swords, and I have gotten to do like there's a fun move. Like, if you run out of bullets in your gun, your last thing you can actually throw the gun at the enemy. But everything's polygons. Like
PUBG.
There's no blood. Yeah, right. You should be able to throw all inventory in PUBG.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you need this scope? Yeah, I'm downstairs. Just chuck it out the window. I'd love to be able to throw stuff. So if anybody's listening that will allow us to throw
or
inventory.
Or those times where you land on the roof and there's 50 people around you and you don't have anything in your inventory but a bullet loop.
Let me throw
at least
it at
be able to throw it
or
at
your
them.
Or a pan.
You know? Or a pan. Hey, you know what? Pan. If you could throw stuff, I would carry around gas cans.
Chuck it up, shoot it.
Anyway, I digress. I don't remember what I was going to say. Something about
super hot.
Dope.
Super hot.
It's cool. Yeah. What else we got?
Let's see. So, other than that, like some of these other games aren't. I don't know that they're going to be games that.
There was one on the list there that Michael had written about already.
Yeah, this one's huge. Elder Scrolls Online.
Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. So it comes out on Stadia. This is the one that's coming out mid-June, so June 16th. But when it does launch, it's available for Stadia Pro people to use. And
it's launching cross-platform that same day? Like, is it getting launched out on Xbox and PlayStation and
I'm
stuff
I'm going to show my
day?
Ignorance here so we can highlight what we talked about earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm out of my league a little bit.
Do you want it to launch on the same day?
I think that would be interesting.
Okay,
I mean,
I don't know that it's launching on other platforms or if it's already available and it's just coming
to Stadia.
I'd have to go read Michael's article.
I hope
see.
That's what they end up doing with Tony Hawk.
My guess is it's probably out on other... Other, I don't know, since it has a launch date. I don't know. I'd have to go look at that up. But
May 18th for PC, June 2nd for PS4 and Xbox One.
Okay.
And so when for Stadia?
June 16th.
So, I mean, that's all the same launch window. It's just a couple weeks apart.
That's dope. Okay,
and I haven't
cool.
looked into crossplay, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, but still.
And that's not awesome. My, like, jam.
Right.
That's not my kind of game.
That's
but
why we got
it
Michael.
Looks amazing.
It does look great, yeah. The graphics on it are... Really
like I don't get into a whole lot of like fantasy stuff like that, and kings and you know knights and swords and wizards. But I love Lord of the Rings. I think Lord of the Rings is pretty awesome. So and this looks more in that vein of not being like crazy out of control, fantastic. So I don't know. I may mess with it for a little bit.
Give it a try. I mean, it's free. Why
again,
not?
Yeah, that's the beauty of this.
That's the kicker here.
Stuff just shows up and you're like, I don't know. I'll try it. Why not?
I mean, it's a game subscription.
Yeah, I mean, Turing Test looked really cool. I played it for a little bit. It's not something that I would sit and spend a lot of time on, but it's a really dope game.
Yeah, it looks great. It plays really well.
Let's talk about the game Robbie's really interested in, PGA Pro Tour.
Oh, yeah. That won't be till August. God, I can't wait.
Tony Hawk is until September, man. It's
you don't even know it's coming on Stadia. This is coming on Stadia.
I know.
I get to be excited
can't
about
wait.
My game.
Can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be just
we're going to be playing some golf in the office for sure.
I firmly believe like it will. I don't want to say it's going to like replace PUBG time, but
it could be fun.
There could be days really where fun. Like, hey, bring your controller. Hey, let's all hop in.
Let's go play a quick nine. You know,
yeah, because it. Oh my gosh, I miss.
You're going to have to buy a controller, Joe.
Yeah, I know, man.
I do. I miss the days of Tiger Woods golf, and it's funny. Yes. Like I thought maybe like. Because I kind of got out of gaming after that period, and so I thought, well, maybe they released a bunch of PGA Tour
games, but
the whole franchise just disappeared.
Stopped. Yeah.
They did one with Rory McIlroy, I think like 2015, I think, but that's been it, and it didn't do well, and they tried to change stuff, and so again, we don't know for sure that they're going to bring back all like the Tiger Woods stuff. Cool stuff. It sure does look like it.
I hope so, because there was something about that, the early 2000s, there was something intangible about that game. Just the time invested into it and the way you could build your characters and the gameplay.
The controller flicks.
Yeah. Do you remember some of the crazy like fantasy courses?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're so hard.
Crazy.
And I still remember being able to shoot in the 50s on them.
Yeah, we'd get on there, and you get 110% on your hit, and you could stick one. Yeah, I mean, it was...
Yeah, it was nuts.
Am I going to get a hole-in-one? It was how many holes in one am I going to get on Pebble Beach this week is exactly what
Yeah, so a little leisurely, obviously, than not realistic.
Because we had somebody joined us for some gaming at some point. I don't remember if it was somebody visiting or something, and just remember thinking...
We're probably just like, what the
heck? Why are these guys so good at this
freaks?
Game?
it was ridiculous, but it was super fun. Some of the other titles for Stadia get packed. I'm going to trust Michael.
What is that?
He owned it already, and he said it's a lot of fun.
What's the premise of that? Are you moving?
Get ready for hilarious hijinks and get packed. This zany cooperative competitive game challenges you and your friends in a race to avoid wacky hazards as you struggle to relocate furniture and possessions in the face of overwhelming odds.
Okay. Interesting.
Graphics look kind of fun. Again, that's one of those ones I'm like, ooh. You know, the kids might be really into this and stuff. So I'm hoping that we find a couple games that the kids would be super interested in and give me a reason to go buy a couple more Stadia controllers to treat this more like a console at home. Right now, getting them.
It's like he needs a reason to buy another Stadia controller.
Come on.
Right now, getting them out of Fortnite basically is almost impossible.
It's a struggle.
Man, Epic is so good. It just continually like, oh, here's the new next thing that's coming. Like, they are just so in the zone there.
They've got
my child discovered Candy Crush last week, and I'm like, honey, that game's so
just
old.
No. Let's see. Little Nightmares is another one, which looks insanely creepy.
I think I'm interested, though. Like, I tried Guilt. Guilt was okay, but this looks interesting. I've seen the trailer for it. I like it.
It's apparently been out on some stuff. So Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. I was like, what is this? It's like a Capcom versus Marvel kind of game. Like, it's
really?
Yeah, combo so like, system. They have esports stuff around it
like
already.
This? It'll probably do really well.
It looks fun. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, like Samurai Showdown was okay. I didn't care for its particular combat system. It was a little generic to me. Some people love that game. I like combo systems and stuff like that. We talked about that, I think, last week with the whole Killer Instinct thing. Yeah. Like, I get into that stuff. This game
has all that.
Not that sort of combo system, but there's some systems in it. So, again, free. So,
yeah, might as well try
it. Give it a try. And it's Power Rangers, so you're not going to have to worry about playing it in the living room, your kids walking in, and somebody dismembering or piercing someone's heart in front of your kid. You know, like,
I mean,
as Gabe's wife said, it's an anatomically correct heart. Look at that. And they pull this heart out, and it's anatomically correct.
Look at there.
And then finally, there's Panzer Dragoon, which is an old game I remember people liking on maybe like Nintendo 64 or something. And it's an old Nintendo game. But you fly a dragon. It's kind of why can't I remember? The Fox Nintendo 64 game. Sky Fox? Anyway.
We know
Star
what you're talking about.
Star Fox,
yeah.
It's that style game. You're behind the plane, third-person plane, except you're on a dragon. Targeting and stuff, and you can look around and do all those things. So, it looks kind of cool, and it's another one that I'm like, I don't know, the kids might be really into it. It's on Switch already, too.
Okay.
A nice smattering of games that... Again, I would never go buy most of these. Super hot, maybe. The rest of them, I'm not going to go buy. I'm just not going to. But the fact that they're here, I'm like, yeah, like A, it keeps me around as a pro subscriber, and B, it means I might actually try them. So yeah. It's a win-win, I think.
We've wrote about it on Chrome Unboxed, and obviously the conversation is going on Gaming Unboxed as well, but they just need to keep cranking out titles,
yep.
get more people playing on the platform. That's it's not I mean I think base rolling out, the initial launch was so weird and it was weird, and so it's just going to take time, I think.
Sure.
It's going to take time for people to get acquainted with it, and yeah, like you said, keeping you around enough to try some games and maybe you find something that you really like or something that the family really likes. So it's cool. Cool.
I'm still waiting for that. I think the golf game might be. I was hoping PUBG would be it for me, but
it's so different.
Yeah.
So different.
That game only caused me to launch a new website. That's what happened there. I played it for a few minutes and realized, I think I like mobile games, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Oh, what does that mean? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we should launch a website. And so,
yep.
So that's what happened with PUBG. So good for that, but it's not great to play. Yeah. And we also learned, too, I'm going to write this up, I think, and put it on the website just so people know. When you are logged into PUBG on Stadia and playing with mouse and keyboard, you only play against mouse and keyboard players on Stadia. We were loading in on Chromebooks and like, why is it taking like
forever
to match? Like, what is going on? And I've come across that fact. Like, you play with a controller, crossplay gets enabled, you match up immediately if you can, play that kind of game with a controller. A lot of people do. I'm terrible at it. I'm hoping that Superhot, because of it gives you time to kind of adjust. It's not a matter of like split second timing and aiming. Over time of playing Superhot, my abilities and my brain might kind of rewire a little bit around the controller.
Right.
It might make me better at PUBG with a controller, and I would be down for that because PUBG looks amazing on Stadia, and it's fun, and I think it's way more gritty and visceral playing it there because it's just so much more competitive.
Not seeing anything on the map, not knowing where anything's coming from.
You just hear stuff, and it's like, oh god,
oh man, where do I need to go here?
Get me.
It's crazy.
But I'm hoping that will translate over. But yeah, the fact that when you play keyboard or mouse, you're not being matched with PC players. You are just in Stadia land. And it gives you a clear indication of how few people are actually playing on Stadia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that only gets fixed with more games and time.
Somebody, I can't remember if it was 9to5 or The Verge or somebody wrote, Stadia is a lonely place. It is for sure.
And that's why like crossplay is going to be so important.
Oh yeah.
For them moving forward, because if somebody who owns a nice library of Xbox games, for instance, can start to use Stadia, especially because everybody thought Microsoft's xCloud thing was going to be launched by now. Like it'd be out. They're obviously still not, they haven't figured it out. Meanwhile, Stadia has already got all this data on all these players now, and it's more solid than it was when it launched.
Yep.
And while it's not perfect yet, it's really,
really
darn good.
It's
especially
very good.
For whatever reason, like the difference between the Chromecast and the browser, like the Chromecast is so solid.
It's basically the only way I play now. At
that's,
the house.
That's like I
it's
love
so good.
Mouse and keyboard, but I'm like, I want to play on my Chromecast because the controller Chromecast internet hookup is solid.
It's synced up.
Gosh, it's good.
Just perfect.
Yeah.
Like I love my grid racing game. I'll hop in and just do a couple races here and there. Stadia's still a lonely place right now, but I think more titles, crossplay stuff, and just time.
Yeah,
exactly. So let's talk one other quick thing before we take a break here. And this is a resource that we've kind of talked about putting together, but you finally wrote it up, and I think you partially wrote this up just for your own sake to get everything all in one place.
Yeah, because we can't keep track of it.
But we now have a post on the website that is as all-encompassing as we can get, list of all the boards and devices that we are tracking currently.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a place where we are going to update this post. And I guess when we re-update it and if it's July 2020 and you re-update that, will it go out again on
we can
Discover
send it
and stuff?
Yeah, we can send it. It'll it should show back up in fresh news, but I think, as we update it, we send it back out to our readers. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, the thing is, I mean, just bookmark it if you're interested in this sort of stuff and you want to know what's happening with the boards and whatnot. I can't remember. Did you link to your, like, anyone that we had wrote about, you linked to articles where we were talking about? So, like, we'll update those as we update articles. Is that kind of your thought there?
Yeah. So, if it's like something new and cool that we learn about a particular board, I would go back to this post and update that link so that you're seeing the latest version.
Well, yeah, well, that, and if we, you know, like with some devices, we end up having multiple articles because we find out new features, we can go back to that page and link a actual search result to that.
Right.
So you get to, you can have all of the articles in one.
Yeah, so I kind of broke this thing down and said, hey, like, here's the main Unibill baseboards that these other boards are coming off of. Here's what we know about the baseboard, roughly. And then here are the baseboards, the overlays that we're seeing from that. I just went through and counted. It's over 40 right now.
Yeah.
And we just found some more.
Why couldn't you keep track of that in your head, bro?
I mean, what's crazy is, like, as I was writing it, I didn't have to research too much to remember, like, which ones went where. Because we, you know, we do keep this stuff in front of us a lot.
We have so much information floating around.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of insane. But, like, the particulars of it, it's kind of tough. And honestly, what I wanted this for myself and for those people that really get interested in all these upcoming devices is that you can have kind of a place to go and look and see and say, okay, now how many of those are coming that are ARM, or how many of those are coming? I remember you saying something about hatch boards, like, here. Right. And so now we kind of have a post that we can just go send people to and just go, you know, go check that post out. It stays updated. As we find new boards, we're going to add them to that post. And the ones that we know, like, where we're tracking a board that goes with the ones that have launched already, for instance, like Kukui as a Unibuild, has already spawned two boards that have become products that we have in our hands. So the Lenovo 10e is the Kodama, and the Duet that's in front of me is Crane. So I've got those in parentheses. I put them in the list, but they're in parentheses, and it shows you what the device is. So again, this is going to be a reference kind of tool for people to kind of keep up with this stuff. And so that, too, for us, that if we want to reference back to it, like in other articles, when we're like, hey, there's a ton of baseboards, blah, blah, blah. Instead of it being like, go search our website and go try to find all this stuff, like, here's a place where they all are. And then we'll, you know, probably this time next year, do another one of these and see what we're tracking. Because last year, we had just started tracking Hatch. Mm-hmm. Like, we just came across Hatch, and we're like, hey, we thought Hatch was going to be one device.
Look at all this cool stuff it's going to do.
No, it's a whole family.
Yeah, and there are more Hatch devices showing up still. So it's not like that Hatch is done and we're moving on. But we do have, like, Voltier, which is, you know, your 10th gen or 11th gen 10 nanometer Tiger Lake chip. Voltier is going to basically be the Hatch that was last year. So we're going to see development
towards the end of the year, and then it'll emerge
beginning of the year. We'll see a handful, and then they'll trickle out.
Yeah, but unlike the way things used to be, where you had one family of Intel Core, and then you had your Atom line that we're seeing, because there's Jasper Lake. There's we saw a couple of Whiskey Lake. Who was the
Dell?
Dells were Whiskey Lake.
Dell Enterprise Chromebooks.
Alder Lake. There's pretty much, if Intel's making a chip, they're trying to put it in a Chromebook. It's pretty crazy.
And I don't think I even put that Alder Lake chip on here. What was the name of that baseboard?
I don't remember.
I don't know that we have a baseboard yet.
We just saw support for the processor.
So that's a brand new processor that's, you know, being worked on for Windows devices too. Like, they're right on top of this stuff now. So it's not a matter of, oh, well, Windows has had that for a year. Now Chromebooks will start getting developed. Like, it's just in tandem.
Yeah.
You know, they're side by side.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this is, I think, going to be a good resource for people who are interested in this stuff and like geeking out about this and tracking things. And I think it's I think it's going to be a cool place that someone can just bookmark if they're interested in it and come back to it. But then, like we were saying, we'll update it. And I don't know, like, I think we can just update it periodically, but then maybe put out a post every quarter or whatever that's like, you know, boards we're tracking right now, June 2020, whatever.
Yeah.
Cool resource. And Robbie went through and man.
Spent the whole morning on that one.
He went down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it was going to be just a quick, like, here's a list, and just so you know that there's a bunch. And yeah. I was like, well, maybe if I divide it this way. And then I got to link all this stuff. And then I'll
do a quick little paragraph for each.
Right. And then next thing, it was a whole morning project. But I'm glad it's there now. I think it'll be useful. So
yeah. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and we have some very important news to talk about, some Chrome OS 83 news. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. So as promised, we are going to dig into some Chrome OS news here. And if you haven't heard already, Chrome OS 83 is out for everyone.
Yeah, technically. I mean, you may not have the update yet, but I think technically it's being pushed to all devices. It's not. They've gotten a lot better at that. They used to do like, oh, it was Pixelbook only, or it was only for these this chipset. But generally, when they push it, it's for everybody.
Yeah. So, Gabe, you wrote about this this week. So, fill the folks in. What do we got? What do we got going in this new version of Chrome OS?
Yeah, there's a lot, and there's still stuff that we're uncovering that wasn't actually officially announced. Someone actually commented that USB support is now there for Linux in 83, which is cool because I think to access USB devices prior to 83, you had to flip a flag or something like that. So that's great for developers if you or people trying to edit video or stuff. If you can access USB devices, and that gives me a reason to buy an external GPU. So that's going to be a charge you guys are going to see. Anyway. So yeah, a lot of stuff. A lot of it we've known about. We weren't sure if it was going to be here in 83 or not. The virtual desk naming is kind of cool. I don't think we really actually knew that was happening.
I didn't know that was going to be a thing.
Yeah, if it was in the repository, probably would have just overlooked it. But when you swipe up and you add a new desktop, a virtual desktop, which is really cool, you can now name those desktops. And I found out this morning that you can save those. Well, you can't save them. They're just saved. So I had powered my device off earlier because Android apps were being wonky. And when I turned it back on, I swiped up and my two desks were still there and they were still labeled what I had labeled them, which is pretty cool. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it'll help organizationally. And unless Google decides, and we were talking about this morning, I don't foresee them doing this, but unless Google decides to, you know, allow certain apps or PWAs or whatever on startup to launch. That's a helpful thing. I just don't know if it's going to be like, well, this is game changing.
Yeah, because the news came out this week that they're doing that for Windows. They're going to allow PWAs to start. So when, like, anyone who's used Windows knows they have that startup feature. Right. You can set whatever apps you put in there, they fire up when you start it. Well, you're going to be able to do that with PWAs now. Again, I'm with Robbie. I don't know that Google's going to do that for Chrome OS. They could. I just don't.
Yeah, with them touting speed and boot time,
it detracts.
All the time.
Yeah, it detracts from the cleanliness of Chrome OS when you have stuff that's just firing. But anyway,
but I mean, they can always do it and add it as an option.
Yeah.
Say, hey, this could hurt your startup time, but you know, I don't know.
Far as workflow is concerned, if you work out a virtual desk on a daily basis and you have to redo your desks every morning, that's annoying. Now, create them and they're there.
And the conversation too we had earlier was, well, you know, ultimately I don't know how often I turn my Chromebook off. You know, every once in a while I let it run out of battery, but usually I don't turn it off. Yeah. Close it and I take it home.
I did today, but that was just because it was
right because there was something
crazy.
Going crazy. Yeah, but so. I mean, ultimately you don't end up turning it off that often. So you know, as long as the virtual desk sessions aren't crashing and they're, you know, remaining open and stuff, then maybe 80-90% of the time I'm never going to deal with having to reset them up anyway. So
but I could see in like a workspace situation where maybe you have a Chrome box at work,
right?
And you power it off at night, you know, with the fans running and stuff while you're away. I mean it's a good feature to have.
Or for devices, places where they're using multiple devices across multiple people, and mm-hmm. you're logging into your session. It'd be nice to be able to set those up as like, hey, when I log in, here's what I want to see. I want to see three desktops.
Doesn't matter, which
this
device
music
I'm
player
on.
Over here, and I want, you know, that would be really cool. Yeah. But I would say that's not near.
Yeah. I like the idea though, because I set mine up yesterday with Chrome Unboxed and Gaming Unboxed, and because, you know, we're going to contribute when we can to Gaming Unboxed, but there's still administrative stuff and things that we do with it, and social and all that, and being able to keep those in separate spaces is very handy. That way you guys aren't seeing our Chrome Unboxed posts on Gaming Unboxed or whatever. Right. So anyway, What were we talking about? So View Password, that's there. We started tracking that back in February. So it developed really quick, and now it's there. So when you're typing your password or your and it works for pin lock too, there's a view, a little eyeball you can click so you can see your password. And if you have a convoluted, crazy password, then that's very helpful.
Guilty. Which is on like every other Google login thing.
Yeah.
So like, sense that it's
you just
here
kind
too.
Of expect most login things nowadays, you have that. So you kind of expect it to be there. Another big one is the assistant is actually useful on a Chromebook now. No offense.
I don't ever use it.
Yeah. I remember last week we sat here and tried to launch I think it was a spreadsheet. Cheat or something, and it just wasn't working.
I remember I wrote an article, maybe
Google
a year ago.
It.
Yeah,
like, hey, you can now open up your documents. Yeah. And it's like, cool. I think you can. Yeah. We can.
And we were
but maybe
like,
you can.
It was working on the slate, but it wasn't working on yours. And it was like we had the title of the document exactly the same. We're trying to open it up.
Yeah, and it's still hit or miss. But there's talk of launching your Stadia games with the assistant, which I still haven't been able to do that either. So I don't know how that works.
No, but that'd be cool.
I mean, is it a Chromecast controller thing right now?
Oh, maybe. I've not tried it. Maybe you could do that.
Anyways, they've added some things. The main thing they added was media sessions. So you can say, okay, G, and you can pause, play, track forward and stuff with your music that's playing. But they have actually added a dedicated Discover Your Assistant on Chromebook section to the support page. And there's a link to it in the article. But it just tells you pretty much all of the things that you can do. The thing that I found useful is, and I don't know if it's new or not, but I was able to set a reminder with my Chromebook yesterday using the assistant.
I feel like that's been a thing.
It may have. I've never done it.
Because a lot of times on the, I'm trying to think of, I don't know that I normally am only setting
reminders with like a home, like a smart speaker, a Nest thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it yesterday, and it was great because I set the reminder. And again, if it's not new, I'm sorry. You can comment and tell me I'm stupid. But I set a reminder, and I was sitting at my desk, and I wanted the reminder in front of me invisible. So I set it on my Chromebook. Of course, it comes up on all of your connected devices, but it popped up on my Chromebook. And I was like, oh, hey, I got to run to Kohl's and drop something off. So, yeah. You can check out that list. There's quite a few things you can do with the assistant.
Yeah, and like we were just talking. I mean, some of these will get their own little spinoff articles as we dig into them more.
Yeah,
and
we're digging in.
On.
There's a lot of stuff in this release because 82 was skipped technically, so it kind of contains two releases worth of stuff. And some of it's just updated stuff. Some of it's stuff that we've written about for quite a while. Tab groups are there. But they're not. It's weird. In the official announcement on the support forum, they said tab groups was there. I tested it. It was there. And then someone pointed out that it's there behind a flag. And I realized I still had the flag turned on. So, yes, tab groups are there. If you want them, you have to go to flags and turn them on. But that just allows you to create groups, add custom colors to each tab group, and then name each tab group.
And didn't we discover they can collapse down? Didn't you figure
that
out?
That's a canary right
now.
Because that will be the game changer for me. Like, having them all grouped and color-coded is cool, but I guess, like, visually, you could just see what ones you need to click on. But being able to collapse them down into their group, that will be sick.
That's where I might start actually using it.
And I'll be honest, I with the way that they're going and the popularity of customizable tabs, because I had one of the Linux browsers I had done an article on a while back, Vivaldi. It's completely customizable. You can even drag and drop elements on the pages and stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised because I think at one point in time Chrome did this, but then they did away with it. I foresee customizable tab layouts coming back, like left side, right side, all that stuff, because people like it. People like it on all the other browsers. And
I mean, I would like for the what you see on the 10e, and I haven't even tested this yet, to see if in 83 that new The new tab strip for web layout that the Tenny and the Duet shipped with, if it's a thing already on it. It was supposed to come in 83. I haven't even looked.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish you could turn that on all the time.
I need to check. Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could do that and use tab groups in that sort of thing, because I love the cleanliness of the way it looks.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the browser is my full window, and I bring my tabs into view when I need them. I that's me. Some people would hate that, but I'll
make
love
it
the
an option.
I love the option to like flip on, you know, web view, tab
and,
strip,
and something they need to add, and it wouldn't be a big fix. Right now, you can right click on a specific page. The tab of the page, not the tab group. So you can click on a tab and send that tab to your other desk. They need to add that ability for groups.
For groups, yeah.
I need to be able to open a bunch of things for this specific task and then send that entire group to desk two. It's not there yet, but I'm sure someone's thought of it. If you haven't, now you have, and you need to fix it.
So there we go. You should write an article about that.
Yeah, the other big one, while Robbie's tinkering with his he's not doing anything. I thought he was testing out tab strips, but he's not.
No.
So the
he's on Facebook.
They're calling it Google for
not.
Yeah, they're calling it Google for families on Chromebooks. It's all part of Family Link. It is not integrated into the Android Family Link app yet. It needs to be. But a few weeks ago, they rolled out a handful of extensions and apps for all these kids that were homeschooling because they needed access to like Hangouts and Zoom and stuff like that. And you can't do that on a managed device. On a Family Link device, you cannot install extensions, things like that. You can't even, if you go to the web store, it said you can't. So they gave access to this handful of them, and then when a kid tries to install it, they're prompted to ask their parent, and then the parent has to type in their password. Super simple, same way Family Link works. Now they've opened the entire web store, so you can go there and it does the same thing. So, but my thing is they need to get this integrated into Family Link, because, you know, a lot of times my daughter will be on the tablet and she'll try to install something, and if my wife's busy or doing something or whatever, I get a notification on my phone and I can look at what she's doing and approve it or deny it or whatever. So it just needs to be part of that to make it really, really useful.
So I'm totally ignorant on this because obviously I don't have children, but so it's an app. So and I know there was like the whole Family Link stuff. Did it kind of change? I remember there was stuff
Family Link used to be Android only. Right. So it was for Android stuff. Then supervised users was for Chromebooks. Supervised users went away. Family
and
Link took its place. Now when you enroll a Chromebook for a kid, you can use Family Link, and that allows you to set
through the Android app, like on your phone.
On my phone right now, and it's beefy. I mean, to be completely free, I can set limits on specific applications. I can set limits on total time limits. I can, like, we have ours set for a certain time at night, and a little pop-up comes up and it says, hey, bedtime's in an hour. Nice. Time to, that way our kids aren't on the tablet right up until they go to bed.
Right. Oh, that's dope.
But you can set different time limits for each day. I can get on there and lock her tablet right now if I want to, which is fun. I love doing that. but you can add bonus time, you know, if they're in the middle of doing something, they need some extra time or whatever.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's constant for me.
Yeah, but
you're always adding bonus time. Is it really bonus?
Well, they still have to come ask.
Yeah, they do have to ask. Be like,
so you just want the power.
Yeah, I'm aggravated with
pretty
you.
Pretty much.
You give like, them the bonus time, since, but you just want
honestly,
the power.
Before, no, we never gave it on the weekdays, but since
quarantine.
Homeschooling. And now summertime.
Honestly,
here.
When they were homeschooling, like the days she had school and stuff, like
we held tight to it, but now
it's like, here's another 30 minutes or here's another
hour. School shouldn't take away from their casual time.
Is this something that like a lot of people do? Is this something that like the school systems are encouraging families to do, or is it like set up, or are you guys just doing it because you all are plugged in on
I just do it because I want to know what my kid's doing?
Because this sounds like something that like a lot of people should do.
It blows my mind because it's such a robust free platform, yet all the time I get people asking, or I see people asking in forums and stuff, you know, how can I manage my kids' on-screen time? I'm like, Family Link does that because it also gives you the ability to whitelist and blacklist. Mm-hmm. You can set it up to where they can't go to a website without permission. So, like, when we first started Family Link, my daughter had a handful of sites that were whitelisted, and if she tried to go anywhere else, she couldn't.
That's awesome.
You know, and, I mean, It controls everything that your child is doing when they are logged in with their Google account.
Yeah.
Right.
And so this extensions thing isn't part of Family Link, correct?
No, it's like they umbrellaed it under that when they did the original six. So because you have to use Family Link to set the Chromebook up.
Right.
And then when they go to the Chrome Web Store and try to install it, it pops up Ask Parent. They click that, and then you type in your password just like you would with any other Family Link stuff. It's just not integrated into the app yet.
You have to physically
be present to put your password in.
Okay, yeah. So they could probably flip that switch.
And I would hope that they plan on it. Because like I said, there are times where my daughter wants to install something, and my wife's busy or whatever, and I should be able to do that from my phone.
Yeah, sure.
Right. I get notifications. Both of my kids have a 10E now, so Brayden's discovering apps, and I'm getting notifications all the time. He installed this, and I'm like, okay, whatever.
It's like my son went through a phase for a long time. He'd find a free, because those kids' games, they always link to more games.
Yes.
And so he'd click on something and be like, can I buy this? They're always free. Can I buy this? Can we buy this?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, buddy. Look how much stuff I bought you.
Look at all these things I've bought for you. Well, very cool. Anything else, Gabe? I feel like that was the
the meaty part of it, the official stuff. Like I said, there's some stuff that people have mentioned about USB support and stuff. So we're going to dig into it and get some details out on the bigger features, and then uncover some other stuff that wasn't officially announced.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So one other quick Chrome OS thing. We've got here, I forget how to, is it Krita? Is that how you say it?
I have no idea. Krita? That's how I'm saying it.
Krita.
Maybe, anywho. Let's go with Krita.
Oh, were you asking me?
I like Krita. Let's go with good. Krita. So, some of you might have heard of this app before. This thing is, gosh, I feel like I've heard of this app for a long time.
I'd never heard of it.
Really?
It's got a huge community around it. It's been in development for a long time.
Maybe it's just because I had messed around with Illustrator and stuff back in the day, so maybe...
Well, here, let's get the official out here before, because I did not know this.
Because maybe I was thinking of something else.
It is Krita.
Krita? Okay.
Which is Swedish for crayon.
Oh, that's interesting. There you go. That's cool.
There you go. And Rita means to draw.
Yeah. So when was it originally launched? Like how long has it been around?
I'm looking at the dictionary right now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. Yeah. It's been in development for a long time.
2005.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
So it originally, from what I read, started, and they were going to GIMP Photoshop kind of thing. And then they really pushed, I think in like 2014, 13, 15, thinking, something like that, to making it the best painting tool available.
Drawing,
now you can still do a lot of the Photoshop stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, just like any other app that's like this, I mean, open up GIMP and start trying to do something without learning. Like
that's why there's whole college classes on certain programs.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, the learning curve's super steep. And the important fact here is the fact that these guys decided to build a desktop quality app in Android, specifically targeted at tablets and Chromebooks. That's the big deal here. That's the big news. It's not so much that, I think everybody should go use Krita, because I have no idea exactly how it works or what it does. We took a pen and put it on screen, and it lag is really good. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's as far as I can tell you is whether or not this is a good tool for you. And I can show you things that other people who are skilled artists have created that are mind-boggling.
That are insane, yeah.
So it's obviously a powerful tool. So I can put those two things together and then say the really important thing from our perspective here is that this is the first time someone is taking a desktop app, so a Windows, Mac OS, Linux app that's on the desktop, and then turned and said, we want to put this on Chromebooks, and we're going to leverage Android to do it. And so we're going to build a desktop quality app into Android, thinking about Chromebooks first, because it doesn't. You can't even get it on phones.
That's
right.
I was literally about to say, I pulled it up just to even see if I can install it on my phone. Won't even.
And they
install.
Even said that in their press release, like, we're not making this for phones yet.
Right.
And
because
so maybe they will, but I don't know what you would do with this.
At the end of the day, we draw the
different app.
Yeah, we draw this line between mobile apps and desktop apps. But the fact of the matter is, there's really no line there. They're developed differently, and they're developed for different architectures, but they're bits and pieces of software. So if you want to create a desktop class app that runs on Android or through Android or via Android, there's no reason that you can't. It's sure. just a matter of our developers willing to do it.
Right. And there's been no incentive for them to do it prior. Right. You know, like, so Android is 95% on phones. Why would you build a desktop class photo slash paint editor that needs mouse support and all that stuff? And you've got tiny UI elements all over the place because it's meant to be on a big screen and with a mouse and keyboard. Like, look at Photoshop, look at Adobe Illustrator, look at these, you know, look at GIMP. You know, these things are not built with a tiny phone screen in mind. That's why you get these mobile versions of apps. So they're like, hey, we want to try to give you some of this on the go on your phone. And I dogged a little bit on Photoshop apps and stuff like that because there's like three Photoshop apps and none of them even combined give you Photoshop on mobile experiences. Yeah. It gives you little bits and pieces of what Photoshop can do. And so, you know, their thinking there is, well, if we build this app for Android, the only people that are going to use it are on phones. And that's been the prevailing wisdom. Even when Android apps launched in 2016 on Chromebooks, we've been talking about it ever since. Like, one day, you know, one day somebody will go, hey, here's Android, and we can use that platform to build, you know, to build an app. And it just hasn't happened, and now it has. And it's a smaller design firm, you know. I think Krita's actually open source now. They haven't not gotten open, like a project where people can contribute. This stuff. And so it's just super interesting to see. Again, I don't think that, you know, millions of people are going to jump on using this on a Chromebook. It's more of a, hey, look, someone did it. Like, it can be done. So,
and for those that want it, here's the perfect thing to go use now.
Right. Like, and so the question then becomes, like, software companies like Adobe that are much larger and have, you know, larger pockets, like, and have promised Chrome OS support for these apps. Like, where are you? Like, what are you doing? Have you backed out of this? Are you not interested anymore? Or at this point, with many, many more millions of people buying Chromebooks over the last few months, are you interested now? You know,
like,
and
what's it going to take?
Right. And so clearly you can take what you've built on Windows or Mac and build a similar thing for Android.
This smaller team here has done it.
Right.
So.
And you can build it for Android, and you can build it in such a way that says, hey, this is for tablets and this is for Chromebooks. And the Play Store can handle that differentiation. Like, all of those pieces are in place. It literally comes down to whether or not developers see the worth in building these things for Chromebooks.
Right.
And up until now, maybe, you know, the argument was there that
it wasn't reasonable
at that point. But it feels like it's becoming up to the point where, it is reasonable. If you can build Photoshop, for instance, in Android and deploy it on Chromebooks, could you see a few million people subscribe to your service now? Probably.
Yeah.
You know? Because people want to use Chrome OS and Chromebooks for most of their things, and they're like, I've got to have Photoshop or whatever. So, you know, is it going to run well on most Chromebooks? Not on all Chromebooks, no. Right. Those cheaper ones, no. But the people that are buying Chromebooks to do professional
work, they're not
going
to run on cheap laptops either.
Exactly. But, you know, you talk about the Samsung Galaxies and the high-end Pixelbook Go's and some of these things that HP's announced. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, it'll run perfectly fine on these hardwares. And so I don't know, it's interesting. It's an interesting twist in the whole Android, because it feels like the momentum right now is behind PWAs. I don't know if I'll write this up today, maybe over the weekend, but like our favorite vector design app, Gravit Designer has shown up as PWA now. And so for the last few years, since they launched the kind of the not just Gravit, but Gravit Designer, it was a Chrome app, like a packaged app, and then you can just go and use it online. And so I've always used the Chrome app, and for the most part, it's worked well and it hasn't had issue. But there are times when, for whatever reason, the Chrome app would lag behind what the web app was doing, and the web app was always pretty close to working pretty well, but the Chrome app felt a little bit better and smoother. And now they've packaged it as a true PWA. And so, again, this is just breaking down so many of those barriers and saying, hey, here's one code base. Here's where you go to get it. You want to use Gravit, use it here. Whether you're on Windows, you're on Mac, you're on Chrome OS, doesn't matter. Go install this PWA. So you go to Gravit, designer.io. Designer.gravit.io. I can't remember which order they're in. But you go there and you'll get the install prompt for the PWA. Click it, boom.
Yeah.
And the benefit for me, at least in using the last few days, I've been using the PWA. The benefit here is all the OAuth stuff and signing in with our, because we use a single account for us to use here at Chrome Unboxed. The Chrome one constantly logged me out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd log in, log out, log in. And even the login prompt didn't quite use it the way it should. This one works like with my Chromebook. You know, it pulls up the, if I have the Chrome Unboxed login, when it says, even if I'm not logged in, I can just click my accounts that are on my Chromebook and just log in with that instead of having to go and type. And that sounds silly, but it felt like it was kind of broken.
It's a little annoyance whenever you go to open
and
it
this,
up.
This feels more natural. And I was using it this morning to do a graphic, and it hit me. I was like, oh, I forgot this is the PWA.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm using the web version. I'm not using the Chrome version anymore. So no real functional differences, and it still astounds me when I stop and think what you're capable of building graphics in a web browser.
Yeah.
Basically. It's pretty astonishing.
So, why do you think it was that Krita decided to build the Android version instead of just building a PWA?
It could be multiple factors.
It'd be a good interview.
Yeah, it could be their code base. I mean, their code base may have made a lot more sense, and they may have looked at it and said, okay, it's going to be a whole lot easier for us to take either
the
Linux version probably, and just kind of port this over and make some tweaks versus trying to rewrite all this stuff with web languages. I don't even know that everything that they're doing is even, there may be some hindrances where they're like, hey, web languages don't have this, this, and this that we use. And it looks very clear to me that their idea was, hey, we want to port this over the whole thing. It's not like a half version or three quarters of the way. It's the same application that you're dealing with on Windows, Linux, Mac OS, and now Chrome OS. So, my guess would be that's probably what the hindrance was.
Let's reach out to them and ask them. That'd be a fun little interview.
Ultimately, you can look at tools like Pixlr X, for instance, that are pretty darn powerful, and again, are completely web-based applications, and start to ask those same questions. They're like, well, if they can do this, why couldn't you? And it may have just been a bridge too far. Like, they may even look at it and go,
We
100% can do everything, but it would have taken us five more years to go rewrite our entire code base to make it work with web languages. Right. That would be
because Designer or Gravit has been,
it was built
basically
that way.
Built on the web, you know, and they've just tweaked it over time.
And Google did a thing years ago, SVG Edit. They open sourced this thing and started met like Google Drawings, for instance. I think based on SVG Edit, but they made this open source thing and just let people take it. And so there's an app called Vector, V-E-C-T-R, that is a fork of the original SVG Edit. There's multiple other little vector editors that not quite as full featured as Designer, but you know you can tell you start using them if you use, because when I was scouring for these things early on with Chromebooks, I wanted to find a vector editor, and I would mess with it, and you know it was kind of janky a little bit, like the way you'd save a file or something, because it was kind of like it was built as a thing to test and hey, this is what's possible using CSS and JavaScript and HTML as far as manipulating vectors on a page.
Right.
Here's what you can do, and so it wasn't made like, hey, keep this and use it as a tool, but I was trying to, and that's what led me down the path of I tried using Vector for a little while. It's pretty good, and I think somebody bought them. 123RF, I think, bought Vector.
Yes.
So I haven't messed with it in a while. It's probably come a long way since a bigger company bought them out. I know since Corel bought Gravit, it has improved rapidly since then, because now it's got money, funding, teams.
It's crazy. I mean, we use it every day.
Yeah, and I've been using it for a couple of years, and I mean, from massive signage. I mean, for the festival, we. Just huge signs, like 10, 12 foot signs, graphics, logo design, but then down to, you know, graphic design for websites. And I mean,
little featured images, stuff that we do.
So many things that I use
thumbnails
that tool for.
YouTube. And we do it all in there.
Between, you know, the cloud nature of the software itself and the fact that I can click open and just open files, we keep files in Google Drive. Like, I can grab any Chromebook that's in this office.
And
I,
get
I can
all go your to design Best files.
Buy. Yeah. If I had to go tweak a design and fix something, I could go to Best Buy, crack open a Chromebook, log in, and be working on a project within minutes. Yeah. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
And the files, even the files that you save, like that we save in a drive, are still like very small in comparison to, I feel like, some of the old design files that we used to have in Photoshop and Illustrator and stuff. Like,
yeah, because it zips them by default.
Yeah,
and it's like, again, it's all
keeping
web languages.
Some stuff up. Yeah, it's keeping some stuff up in the cloud, and it's, man, it's crazy. Yeah, that's a nap. I was going back to the Krita thing. I was just sitting here looking on my phone. Have you all seen this iPad app? It's called Procreate. Have you seen some of the drawings people do on these things?
Yeah.
Like, I follow a bunch of tattoo artists, and a lot of them will do, like, they're doing their sketches now, like, for tattoos in this Procreate app and spinning things around, and you have this little dial off on the side. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting and thinking, as we were sitting here talking about this, I'm thinking about all these tablets now, that these Chrome OS tablets that are going to be coming, and something like the Duet. I mean, obviously, the Slate is perfect for this, but it's, you know, I don't know. As it's gone on sale, maybe more people have it, but as more of these tablets keep coming, like having an app like Krita where you can do these very like legit drawings, mm-hmm. you know, in very specific things like different shadings and all these different things that are way out of my league of being able to draw something. Having an app like Krita that now they can do this stuff on, like, I mean, you think about somebody who would, you know, just to use a tattoo artist, for example, that is going to go buy, have to go get the pro iPad, whatever, spend however much money on one of those. Right. They could maybe get, you know, and I know iPad put in the little trackpad thing, but it's not the same, folks. It's not the same. You could go get a Duet for $280 and it can be a full desktop when you need it to be. You could send emails to clients and schedule stuff and have a full desktop environment, and then you could pop it in tablet mode and have this Krita app to do all your drawing. Like, I just think there's like having more options and having more people building this type of, I mean, if you want to call it desktop class apps.
Yeah.
It's just more options. It's more options for more users.
Yep.
And that's what we want.
Yeah. Know? I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, a one thing is what everyone needs to use, but
just more options.
Yeah. There's just more options, more flexibility. And that's what Chrome OS continues to do, is like right underneath of us, it just keeps shifting and moving and growing. And we watch it do things that I'm like, man, I never would have thought that
this
thing would be doing.
The OS of the future, man. It's the OS of the future.
Yep.
You know, Google was on to something.
Yeah.
Luckily they stuck with it. We've said on this podcast many times, it was 2015, kind of going into 2016. Robbie was going to throw in the towel. He was done.
Like, I wasn't done using Chromebooks. I was just, I felt like.
Like the whole Chrome Unboxed experience.
Yeah, the whole
was
thing might have
done.
Just gone away. And so I was like, well, I'm just kind of readying myself for. Maybe I'm going to be a Mac guy, I guess. I don't know.
I remember you buying that Windows Surface, or what did you buy?
Yeah, I
did
that.
You went and bought some Windows, and you were all stoked about it, and it lasted a week, I think.
I don't even think it lasted that long. Yeah.
What was that?
I bought a Surface at some point working for HTC.
Yeah.
I thought, well, you know, I'll use a Chromebook on the side, and, you know, and this will be
work,
my work
you
thing,
know,
you know, because I want to be able to. You know, you tell yourself that, oh, in order to be, you know, whatever, I need to be using like Illustrator or something like that, you know, and to be fair, you know, Gravit was, there were still times where I'd run into issues with files, or this wouldn't save, or it would crash or something, but, you know, kind of got through that, and, you know, some of the software, and especially web-based software, has come along so far since then that I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore, and that's cool, because that means other people thinking about getting a Chromebook and using it for professional uses
don't have to worry about it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, early on it, there were some tough times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about one other quick thing before we wrap up here. And that is a giveaway that we're doing. We had one other thing to talk about, but we're going to have to save it, cause I know it's not going to be a short conversation. Messages, encryption, and
we'll talk about that next week. It's not like it's that timely.
All that jazz. I see Robbie's eyes starting to.
Yeah, we can't get into that now.
He's,
But just as a foretaste.
I'm poking the bear.
Derail the train. Come on.
I'm poking the bear.
Just
here.
As a foretaste, though, for next week, we'll talk about this and just this idea that it looks like end-to-end encryption is coming for messages, for RCS messages via Google's Android messages app. And while that's exciting, there's still much work that needs to be done to create the sort of messaging experience I think a lot of people are still looking for on Android compared to iMessage on Apple stuff.
Yep.
That's all I'll say.
Yep. So let's talk about this giveaway real quick. We could have mentioned it up top, but I forgot about it, so I circled it on my notes here.
I was going to mention it, and then I forgot.
I was going to mention it, and then I didn't. So as part of our launch of Gaming Unboxed, we are really excited to have partnered up with the folks over at CTL. I almost said TCL. I'm like, that's not right.
Different company.
They make TVs
that's
and phones.
A TV. Yeah.
Dope looking phone they got coming out.
Yeah, the phone's cool. Yeah. We've partnered with the folks over at CTL. If you're not familiar with this brand, they're relatively new. No, they've been around.
They're in a very niche space. So your average consumer probably hasn't heard of them, but they have been the leader in Chrome OS, Enterprise, and EDU for better part of 20 years, I think.
Shows how much I know. Yeah, I think I've just become more familiar with them as, you know, we've done more stuff. Because, like, I had never heard of that brand.
Yeah, in our early days, I got connected with the CEO, Eric Stromquist, and he is just a great guy. They're out on the West Coast in Portland area, and they sell to consumers, but they do mostly educational devices. They do white glove deployment, Chrome Enterprise management license, all that stuff, but they sell a wide range of products, and they've got some really great devices. And if you're buying a Chrome box, I mean, people razz me about this all the time, but their Chromebox is no different than any of the other manufacturers. They're all built on the same platforms, the same boards and stuff, and theirs are cheaper, and they're good. I mean, they do the exact same thing that everybody else does, but they'll even put a custom skin on it, which is dope. So
we've got one sitting right over here on our shelf. That has gotten very messy, guys. What is happening over there?
Not the Chrome box, the shelf.
Oh, my
shelf.
Gosh.
The shelf
yeah,
is
the
messy.
Shelf. Jeez Louise. It's like it just, it went off the rails, and then it just, it crashed.
That entire corner is bad.
This is bad. But it's the fine. The Chrome box that's sitting up there looks just amazing. So they hooked us up with, is this a specific paint job for Chrome Unboxers? This is a paint job that other people could go get if they wanted.
Yeah, you could get this if you wanted. This was the one that we picked. Would have been cool if they had a green to match the site. Yeah. But anyways, this is the one we picked just because it looked cool. But they are calling it a special edition Chrome Unboxed Chromebox. So their base Celeron comes with 4 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage, which is 4 times what you get from the other guys. But they've slapped some extra RAM in this, and it has the custom paint job on it. And I mean, this we've what was the octane on the thing? 17. So as far as Stadia, I mean, I played Turing Test on it, which is a very graphics. Again, it's Stadia. It doesn't matter. It runs great. This thing will run Linux apps. It is a great desktop device, and we're giving some away to you guys.
Yeah, so we're gonna be picking our first winner a week from today.
Yep, next Friday.
So we'll talk about it on next week's podcast as well. But if you would like to go get entered to win, go on the website. I think what's the best way for them to search it? Probably Gaming Unboxed, because you put Gaming Unboxed in the title, I do believe. If you search Gaming Unboxed or go on YouTube and find the video that we did.
It's one of the recent videos we've done.
Yeah, we'll obviously link the giveaway in the show notes. But you can go get entered to win, and we're kind of doing this one similar to what we did with the 100K giveaway. So if you get entered to win and you don't win the first one on June 5th, you're eligible for the next one.
Yeah, because we're going to wait one a week for the entire month of June. So this is
And these things are just cool. You know, obviously you can use it to play Stadia, but it's just a cool thing, and we just wanted to do a little giveaway to ramp up for Gaming Unboxed. I was waiting for someone to say, oh, hey, you know, Gaming Unboxed, it's all about getting outside of the console, and you're giving away a Chromebox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what?
It's the other boxes. Just a,
well, if you win, if that person wins, they can forfeit their prize.
There you go.
There is no cash option.
That's right. Sorry. I don't even know if anyone has said that. It's just something that I was thinking about because, you know, I'm weird. But yeah, so no, this thing is really cool and very, very thankful for the folks over at CTL for hooking us up with some of these to do a giveaway with. They're great, great devices. And like Gabe said, they've upgraded these things for us and the paint job is cool. Look awesome on a desk. If you want to use it for work, you could do that. Something to have at the house, you could do that. I mean, great little device if you're working from home. Great little work from home device. So yeah, we're just really excited about that, and we're going to be giving away four of them. So go enter to win. We'll link it down in the show notes. You can find it over on the website. We did a little video over on the YouTube channel. Gabriel made an appearance.
Yeah.
So yeah, go check that stuff out. Really excited about that. Anything else? Anything else, guys? I don't know. I think that's it.
I think that's all.
One minute shy of 12 o'clock. Yeah, so
we were gonna talk about messages, but we'll save it.
Yeah, because I can't talk about that in 5 minutes.
That's right. So, folks, thanks so much for listening. As always, we really appreciate you all tuning in and listening to us ramble, talk intelligently, whatever you want to say. We love this stuff, and we hope that you will go check out our new website, gamingunbox.com. Very excited to get that one out the door. We've been working on it during our quarantine and really excited to finally get everything all together, get that out on the web, gaming.com.
It's a new extension.
Oh boy. Gamingunboxed.com. Go check it out. All right, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. See you. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunboxed.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.